Sunday Meditation, February 19th, 1995. The question this week has to do about the question of who am I, each seeker asks. And we're wondering about the incarnational personality as a focus for who each seeker might be. The incarnational personality, of course, has connections with the soul essence that's been through many incarnations, which, of course, is also connected to the one creator as a portion of the creator. We're wondering if you could tell us something about how we can discover the incarnational self, who that self is, and use it as a vehicle, a tool for evolution.
We are those of Akul. Greetings in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. We are most pleased to have been called to your group this day. There are also those energies about which you know as those of Hatan. However, as this instrument ascertained, that energy of those of Hatan is simply to be placed upon the circle of seeking, and in a very subtle sense, upon that tape recording device which records these words. That carrier wave, shall we say, of meditative quiet and stillness is an helpful one, and those who listen to such a recording as this one may be offered that silent gift. In addition, we shared a joke with this instrument, which took the challenging process a little longer to deal with. We are always hoping that this instrument will not be too earnest about her challenging. So when she asked us if we came in the name of the one known as Jesus, we said, oh yes, we stop in the name of love. But this instrument would not accept that. However, to our minds, the one known as Jesus is the one known as love. For this entity, managed within incarnation to express that energy in its fullness. As always, when speaking with a group, we request that our words be taken with a grain of salt and that the personal discrimination be used. We do indeed thank this group and deeply for sharing these moments with us and allowing us to share with you what humble service we may offer at this time. The question of self-identity is indeed the signal question of a density devoted to the exploration of self-consciousness. The other experiences gained in first and second density as powerful and all-encompassing as they have been are as a simple elementary school class compared to the complexities of self-discovery and accurate self-perception. Being aware of the self-being is in many ways confusing. There is confusion because of each entity viewing itself through the passing kaleidoscope of circumstance and event about which one spins one's life's threads. The child, that young soul whose mind is infinite and eternal, but whose body is clumsy and small, must determine what of his body makes him who he is, and what not of his body, but of the mind, or of the emotions. This is most puzzling, and the questioning begins for each entity as that soul becomes enough aware of itself within its little world that the focus becomes inward. Those of young ages are frequently viewed by their parents and teachers as those who do not have native wisdom or the ability to think upon abstractions at the age of preschool, as this instrument would call in those years of 4 and 5. Yet, by this age, the larger part of your people are philosophers in their own small way, picking up questions of life, death, and being, and looking seriously and probingly at them for clues as to identity and that ineffable and indescribable sense of belonging that is yearned for, yet not entirely felt, with those identities which the world sees and passes on to the young self. each year, indeed each season, which adds to the child's life, its burden of days, yields also a crazy quilt of perception and misperception, accurately perceived and inaccurately perceived memory, and the drifting of memory and thought through those inner seasons, which color perception so profoundly, usually without being themselves perceived. The burdens that the child has taken up often become invisible, yet still are burdens carried. Yet carried not within the conscious mind, but stowed safely as in a ship's hold for the long voyage which shall occur before that self is able or ready to open the cargo doors and work with that burden which has lain patiently awaiting such a visit since the childhood. These hidden storage areas of the self are hidden for good reason. The self is a living entity in a way which transcends current definitions of life. For there is not the embodiment or the gross manifestation in many forms of vivid life which entities upon your sphere tend to attach life to. The life within, as has been pointed out by this group, moves through incarnations, one upon the next, in a journey unimaginably larger than the journey through incarnation. Yet that journeying and questing self that is infinite and eternal is only taken in full realization and seated or embedded within that infinite self through the processes within incarnation through which the mind comes to be more and more acquainted with the self. Therefore, sitting down and taking the pen and writing upon paper those things known about the self and those things logically assumed, and attempting to infer identity in some mental way, this process is not useful, for the self is not built with the logic of the mind. That self, which is the deepest self, is a distortion of love, and the heart, as it opens, simply becomes more and more able to resonate to the pure emotions which are that unique distortion of love which is each entity. Thusly, one better feels and intuits one's way towards a deeper understanding of the identity of the self than work with the logic and the mind can ever produce. These are subtle matters. And using words is a clumsy option when working in this area. Yet we do not have a choice other than these words. So if you will forgive us and this instrument who must, in a way, translate our concepts, we shall continue attempting to throw some light upon this very central subject. When the entity that each is comes into incarnation, it is aware ahead of that time that it will lose its way, it will not remember that way, and it will need to wake up within the life in order to begin that journey of self-discovery. Those such as this circle now present were awakened by the call of that nature which, as each grew, it uncovered within itself. So each has gone through several generations of thought concerning self-identity and has discarded many self-identities, finding them too limited and not enough evocative of self-perceived spiritual advancement or evolution. It is good to have started this searching, this pilgrimage, for as entities seek the light, as they are drawn to love, they are also seeking their identity. The ideals and philosophical arrangements which work to create a more spiritually aware life experience must hang in mystery and in veiling much that the self would know, yet cannot know within incarnation. There is no use in incarnations if the work done within incarnation is over, and if the puzzle, shall we say, is completely and perfectly solved for an entity, then this entity has just transcended a third density and will soon depart from this planet and its physical third density existence. It is a prerequisite, shall we say, of incarnation, or the continuance of incarnation, that the person be working to discover truth, the truth of self, the truth of love. The truth, however that entity describes or phrases it. When school is out, the Creator simply allows that entity to move on. So the one sure thing about entities within incarnation upon your planet at this time is that they are imperfectly known to themselves. This, then, being a prerequisite for life as you know it, may be counted a good thing by some, although one would not expect a universal yes. It does, however, seem to most entities somewhat unfair, in that the deck is stacked against being able to know the truth that is so hungrily sought. Yet, Yet we say to you that the spirit within incarnation that is still seeking is that spirit which has the right to manifest within the illusion those gifts which may help that illusion. No one upon your sphere, native or wanderer, is fully realized. Each entity is upon that journey, and so are we. And for us, as larger truths have appeared, things have fallen away, and new mysteries appear. So it has been also for you, and as far as we know, so shall it continue to be. One may gaze at this identity at the level of its programming and see a very mechanical aspect to self-identity. And by this we mean that there exists within the melding made between consciousness and the biocomputer of your brain, those ways of perceiving which have been chosen throughout incarnation so far, which have rewritten and distorted the way and the priority with which incoming sense data is received and processed. Thusly, on one important level, the seeker may find its identity to be an amalgam of those programs which run when the self is presented with sense data. A simplistic example of this would be the cliche this instrument is aware of concerning the glass of water being half full to the optimist and half empty to the pessimist. By such judgments, the self accretes a system for judging incoming perceptions. And it decides and makes choices concerning this incoming data based upon choices previously made which have biased the incoming perceptions before they have arisen to the conscious mind. So that it is very fruitful to move back into inner work, gazing at those things which grab the attention throughout each day, and working with that harvest of daily knowledge of self by observing and contemplating what has been observed. Much healing may be done by the entity who goes back into those early experiences which biased the programming. Discovering those centers of pain, anger, disappointment, or whatever, a negative complex of emotions caused that crystallization, which distorted the programming in the first place. And we encourage those efforts to know the self by working with the memory and with the dreams which may offer memories which have been forgotten. However, it is equally helpful to surrender all knowledge of self as being utterly irrelevant to the self that wishes to become one with the one infinite creator, who wishes only to lose itself in that presence, who seeks to tabernacle with the infinite love that is the one creator. Each entity has an identity. Looked at from the highest level, each entity is an illusion. And as the densities mount towards the end of an octave, those self-realized entities which were so full of emotion in earlier densities and experienced such ideal states of compassion and wisdom find themselves releasing layer after layer of illusion until in the final gesture of individual personality, the self is released into all that there is by desire. We cannot at this point in our own learning imagine what it is like to yearn so for the infinite one that the personality is completely released. But this does in the end occur as far as we know. Theoretically, then, if one took no thought at any time and simply stayed a comfortable when in incarnation and avoided worry. Theoretically, again, we say, it might be possible never to be concerned with self-knowledge. Simply choosing to love the Creator. No entity has as yet taken this shortcut. However, since the physical senses in any density are such as to give the individual clear subjective proof of existence and self-awareness, perhaps the best way to advise a seeker to look at the incarnational personality is to suggest that each allow the self the freedom of semi-permeable boundaries. Allow the self to go deeply within. Encourage the self to move deftly and deeply within the self as the opportunities, the moments come to each. This is not something one can do with a schedule. These moments of clarity come when they will. And we simply urge each to appreciate them and yield to them when they come. For these are good opportunities to learn. And when the self is not in such that we correct this instrument, in such a state, we encourage each to allow the questions to rest. For self-discovery is a process which needs time. It is not something which is grasped in a crystallized and gestalt way, but rather lies too deep for such experiences. And as long as the self is allowed its natural freedom to be profound at one mood and shallow at another, to be light one day and heavy another, and so forth, this is the best way to study the self. It is a matter of catching it unawares. One cannot gaze forever at the self with profit. One must look away and become spontaneous. there is that balance between the work and the rest, which fuels and feeds the work, which we would encourage each to keep in mind. The mundane tasks of everyday life may not reveal the self to the self, and certainly one is not what one does. Yet washing the dishes, teaching, or any activity whatsoever may one moment mean nothing and another moment reveal profound truth. So the wise seeker is one who is alert to those moments when the present moment ceases being a point in time and reveals the infinity of depth and width and breadth that is the truth of each present moment, for the present moment is the only one that exists. And all present moments exist simultaneously. Do not be surprised to find realization occurring in the midst of the smallest and most routine chore. For the inner mountaintops of experience are not those which seem high in the outer world, but rather those which have their being and their altitude deep within the self. As we said, this is a difficult subject, for the truth of personality is a shifting one. Yet we honor it greatly. For from it has come all that has been needed by us to evolve to where we are now. And we feel secure in saying that for each entity, this is also tending to be true, that within the everyday and ordinary daily existence lies not one way, but many ways to pursue self-discovery. No truth you find of your nature shall ever be complete within incarnation, for there is much for there is not the amount of material available to the awaking self. However, we have offered enough for a beginning and welcome a future queries at a later session. We would at this time a transfer to the one known as Jim. We are those of Akua and leave this instrument in love and in light.
I am Kuo, and greet each again through this instrument in love and in light. We would like to thank the one known as Carla for her service this afternoon in allowing us to speak our thoughts through her, for we know that she suffers some discomfort. At this time, we would ask if those present might have another query to which we might provide a small answer.
Individuation that occurs when personality shifts is different from the process of separation that the service to self identity would practice, if the question makes sense.
I am Kuo, and I'm aware of your query, my sister. The entity which has chosen the service to self path will in this process individualize itself as you have mentioned in a fashion which utilizes the intelligent energy gift of the one creator in a manner which sets entities and events about it in the influence or control of this entity. Thus, the energy that it receives on a daily basis and from moment to moment is utilized in a fashion which causes others to serve this self. The entity which has chosen to proceed upon the evolutionary path in the positive sense utilizes the same daily gift of intelligent energy in a fashion which attempts to share this energy with others and to seek with them the mystery of creation and its subtleties. Thus, the use of energy by each polarity is opposite. The individuation process for each polarity is that process in which the seeker will utilize the intelligent energy of the creator in a fashion which either reveals the unity of creation in some degree for the positive entity, or which reveals the power of the entity which has chosen the negative path. Is there a further query, my sister?
Not at this time, thank you.
I am Kuo, and we thank you, my sister. Is there another query?
I could be wrong about this, but I want to follow up on Sue's question, because what I heard was, how is self-awareness, the person that is self-aware and therefore is an individual, how is that energy different from the person who is serving the self? And if there's anything that you would add with my putting that in, then I would ask for further clarification. If you already answered that and I just didn't hear it, then excuse me. There you go, cool. Kind of a backhand question.
I am cool and am aware of your query, my sister. We shall attempt to clarify. The entity which is self-aware, whether it is on the negative path or the positive path, is an entity which is seeking to utilize the energy of the One Creator in a manner which reveals to itself more of itself. If this entity, who is becoming more self-aware, has chosen the negative path, then the use of this energy to become self-aware is utilized in a fashion which tends to cause others to serve it, thus bringing them under the control in more or less degree of this entity. If this entity which is becoming aware of self has chosen the positive path, it shall further refine the use of the intelligent energy of the One Creator in a manner which reveals the Creator to those about it, and thus offers this energy as a kind of gift to others. Is there a further query, my sister?
No, that cleared it up. Thank you, Kuo. Thank you very much.
I am Kuo, and we again thank you, my sister. Is there another query at this time?
I would like to ask another question. It's a large question, so please answer it in whatever capacity possible. I wonder if the archetypes have an effect in shaping national identity of large number, collective number of people, and if they have any effect in shaping history, in how collective individuals interact with each other.
I am Kuo, and we believe that we grasp your query, my sister. The archetypical mind of the One Creator, represented in this portion of the creation by your local logos, has an effect upon all experience within the illusion that is, shall we say, in its care. There is the calling upon archetypical influences in each instance in which entities interact. In most cases, this calling is not done consciously. However, the nature of the relationships and the choices which are made by all entities within them determine the kind of influence that is called upon by the very energy expenditure that is made in each relationship. The effectiveness of the calling upon archetypical concepts and influences is increased by the more and more conscious and willed calling upon these archetypes. There are few who do this in a conscious fashion. For most of your peoples pass through their incarnational patterns without becoming consciously aware of the basic architecture of the great mind of which they are but a small portion. Yet each entity in its daily round of activities does move in a fashion which, by the expenditure of energy, its nature, intensity, purity, and so forth, does call upon larger and larger influences that may redound unto the very nature of the archetypical mind itself. For the nature of your creation is one in which there is a simple structure, a relationship to the Creator that is logical and all-pervasive, and which resonates when a small portion of its being is set in motion by its own free will choice in a certain fashion. If you can see the experiences that you share with each other being likened to a song, a great chorus, if you will, each note of the interrelationship sets up an harmonic response from larger and larger, or shall we say, more and more basic portions of the one creation. The most basic in many ways being the archetypical mind. The most basic in a fundamental sense being the universal mind of the one creator. Is there another query, my sister?
When nations engage in war, what kind of archetype are they working on? And do they need to fulfill that in order to grow? How can they help themselves to find peace?
Hi, Quok. And though we are aware of your query, my sister, it is of such a large nature that we could not begin to answer it, for there is much complexity within the process of evolution of each individual entity, each group entity, and the historical relationships that are built over thousands of years of experience. Yet you may rest assured that all archetypes are available and are utilized in some fashion in this entire process. It is most helpful in the study of archetypical imagery and influence, in our opinion, for it to be reserved for the individual entities that are the seekers of the truth. This is not to say that any entity would be excluded from this group, but that the archetypical mind is most effectively seen and utilized by individuals in their own incarnative experiences. Is there a further query, my sister?
No,
I just want to thank so much. I am Quo, and again, we thank you, my sister. Is there a final query at this time?
Might we ask that question again as a main question?
I am And we are of the opinion, my sister, that the query concerning the relationship of the archetypical mind to the movement of nations is a query which asks too much of the explanation for how the archetypical mind would move through each entity within a country that has had generations of entities moving within its borders and within its influence. Thus, we would suggest that queries concerning the archetypical mind be reserved for the experience of individual entities and how the influences of the deeper levels of mind might be brought to bear within that sharper focus. Is there a further query, my sister?
No.
I am Kwa. And we would ask if there might be a final query at this time. It appears that we have exhausted the queries for the knots. We shall take this opportunity to again express our complete gratitude at having been invited to join your group. We feel that we have been blessed with a great honor, and we are always glad to respond to the call of this group. For when we walk with you, we are enriched in our own journey as well. We shall then at this time take our leave of this group. And as always, we leave each in the love and in the ineffable light of the one infinite creator. We are known to you as those of Kwa. Adonai, my friends. Adonai.